And now, from the Mammoth Oasis, it's the woman who for the first time ever recommended I buy soda in bulk. The sports widow, Molly Erdman. What if that was part of the show where each time I tried to go a little longer with the intro? Man, okay.
It's LaCroix. I mean, that's hard.
Like, what did I say?
You said soda.
There is a difference. I will acknowledge.
I also don't know that it's the first time. Like, I used to, I think, be the bigger soda drinker between us back in the day. When everyone thought soda was good for you.
But I also think that you limited yourself somewhat in purchases because you didn't want to have, like, four cases of Dr. Pepper.
That's true.
And I can't turn a bargain down.
Yeah.
As my, I got to bring those shoes on the air one time. My expensive shoes.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing to talk about. How I bought a pair of shoes basically because it was the first time I had ever seen shoes in my size at DSW that had the most percentage off sticker. You know how it's like
right.
Green and red and blue
you
and purple?
Like
I think it was purple, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, it's actually 60% off plus it's DSW. I got to be paying 20%.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Still 10 times as much as it costs to make, but whatever. And I've never worn them.
No, I think you've worn them
once maybe.
Yeah.
They're not my kind of shoes.
They're not. They're not most people's kind of shoes.
If we lived in Miami, those would be good shoes to wear with white linen pants.
Yes.
That's exactly what the shoes are. But we live in California, where you might also have opportunity, but I feel like Miami, you can get away with white linen pants more often than in L.A.
Yeah, I agree.
It's an island kind of
beachy
thing.
An island.
No, you're right. I meant beachy ocean, but we have that too. But
there's a difference between our ocean beachy feel in California versus like Florida, the Caribbean. It's not the same. And then there's like the New England version of beach living. It's all very different.
You know, I'd say New England is probably the most, call it whatever you want, the most high strung, uptight, non-casual, dressed up kind of beach living.
Okay.
Then California, then Miami.
Okay.
You know, I think like Miami's where you can just have like floppy shorts, flip flops, and open Hawaiian shirt all the time.
I'll tell you, though, I think Miami, that's true. I think you can wear, it's different for men and women probably also.
Sure.
But I think people are more on display in Miami. And we've
mm-hmm.
spent some time there. And like
even
South
than L.A.,
Asia
yes.
Stuff. L.A., when I first moved here, I thought, or the first time I visited, I was in a panic about, like, what am I going to wear? And I felt like, oh, I
well, you hadn't packed anything for your move.
No, this one we visited, and I was like, oh, I should have like cute sundresses and, you know, nice flip flops and whatever. And you come here and it's
is that
like,
an oxymoron?
Yeah, but for it's this place is kind of an oxymoron. It's a contradiction because for all of the showmanship, people are so self-centered that they're not actually paying attention to what anyone else looks like, and there's annoying things about that, of the self-centered part.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's very freeing because no one cares what you look like.
Yes. And to that end, some people dress to the point where they have to be noticed. And
right.
I think in a way, you have to go a little further
right.
Than in, let's say, Omaha
yes.
to stand out. And so people do want to do that here.
Right.
And then if they've been noticed, that's a victory for them. Even
yeah.
if it was like, wow, that person's insane.
Right.
Or, wow, that person doesn't know how to dress.
Yeah.
Or, wow, that person is just trying to get attention.
The most memorable, not the most memorable outfit, but I have a very clear memory of the last show I went to see it at UCB.
Okay.
There was a girl in the audience who was wearing a tape measure as a necktie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this
anymore. Yeah. She runs a network now.
Probably. Probably.
Or hung herself.
Oh.
Hey, you know.
But you know how bigger neck is.
Right. It's a fine line between death and being a network executive.
Yikes.
Just remember that, everybody. So we're still in the midst. We'll say it all the time until something interesting happens. The first thing, by the way, that will be interesting that happens will be college basketball and the tournament.
I'm getting very excited about
it. And it's time to, you know, it's time to tease that a little bit, but we're still far enough away. we're not going to be like all the other shows where we're doing our draft preparation and stuff. We're not in depth with sports, so don't, you know, we may have another show coming out like that later. But until then...
Well, last year we actually showed how Valerie, our three-year-old, we had her make picks based purely on mascots.
Yes.
So Joe would go through and say, do you like
the this or the that.
Terrapins or the Bears?
Right. And I think there may have been one like she had the Wildcats or the Wildcats.
Right.
And she had to pick between them. Yeah. So then I may have used the city. Or I may have just picked Kentucky because yeah. You gotta go with the Wildcats.
That's another Wildcat.
I am so predictable in my brackets. I pick Kentucky and Carolina for the Final Four almost every year. Mm. And I like those teams, but I have no like geographical connection to them.
Right.
So it's hard for me. If I had any geographical connection, it would probably be to Syracuse.
Okay.
But they broke my heart when I was a kid at a football game. Have I told the story where I cried? Nebraska was great. 1980, I'm going to say two.
Okay.
Maybe 84. They had just lost the national championship game, but they were a great team. They were number one in the nation. The year before, they had beaten Syracuse by about 70 points in Lincoln.
Okay.
So they were favored by probably 30 points.
For those of you who might be tuning in for the first time, Joe's a big Nebraska fan.
I lived in Nebraska for about 6 years.
Formative years.
4 to 10. So those are years where you develop your love for a football team, especially if you live in Nebraska.
I meant 6 years, and then you corrected yourself that it was between 4 and 10 years.
Well, both of those, it would be true either way, because 6 years is between 4 and 10, and the 6 years were between my ages 4 and 10.
Okay.
So we go to the Carrier Dome, which, if you've never been, is a big dome in Syracuse.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And what I noticed first is, like, it's a pressurized dome. So as you go in the doors, which are like the airport.
Yeah.
Door, you know,
revolving.
The four thing revolving yeah. doors, but it's like pressurized. So each time, like, the door kind of vacuum pops uh-huh. as you're going in, and it's like, you blast the air, hits you.
Ugh.
It's crazy because I think it's just like
an inflated dome.
Type
of thing. Wow.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm sure there's some structure over it or whatever, but, or under it. Point being, go there. Nebraska loses, I think, 19-18. Mm-hmm. Biggest win in the history of Syracuse. Because we bought our tickets in New York, we're sitting in the Syracuse section.
The biggest win was by 1 point?
Biggest program win.
Ah,
the biggest upset.
Okay.
The most impressive win.
Okay, got it.
The best team they ever beat.
I got it.
Because we bought our tickets in New York, we were sitting with the Syracuse fans.
Uh-huh.
We were the only Nebraska fans sitting there.
Okay.
And we were mocked.
Which is funny.
And I cried.
Oh, well, that's very sad.
I was very sad.
It's funny because now you enjoy going to, like, times we've gone to Angels games when the Yankees are playing. You like sitting among the Angel fans. And
well, I can defend myself better now.
Right.
I was a little kid with my parents. Maybe that was one of the things where I was like, from this day forward, I will never go heckled again.
Is that why you also pronounce it Syracuse?
I believe that's how the Greeks pronounced it. So I'm just being loyal to the Greeks,
okay.
as always.
That's not where I thought that story was going. I thought initially you were a Syracuse fan, and you were saying they broke your heart.
No,
no.
And they've broken my heart. They broke my heart in that game, and so I rooted against them for a long time. And that made me root for other teams in the area. But none of them are really any good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one sport that I really – I'm a front runner in where I'm like, I'm going to pick the good team and follow it.
Football.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. College basketball.
College basketball. I don't know why I said football.
Football, yeah.
Oh, because when you talk about Nebraska, I always think you're talking about football.
Well, that was a football game.
Then that's why.
Yeah. But it turned me against the whole team.
I got you.
The Orangemen in general.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any sports defeat stories like that? I can remember crying a few times in games.
That you watched?
No, I remember playing soccer and they made me goalie and I gave up some goals and I cried. And I stopped playing soccer because of that.
I was about to tell the exact same story.
Don't make kids play goal. They don't anymore.
Who does?
That back then they did. They put me in the goal.
But who plays goalie? They don't have a goalie?
No, like when the little kids play, they just have an open goal because they're not good enough to kick it past a goalie.
No, I also played soccer as a kid and I started out as a fullback, and then I started playing goalie, and I don't know how. I didn't want to. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was like a playoff of our 8-and-under soccer league.
Sure, big game.
And we lost, and this one girl, I wish I could remember her last name. I bet I could if I thought long enough, but her name was Hillary.
Oh, not a popular name these days.
She yelled at me. She was like, way to go, Molly.
Ah, bad sport. Parents should yell at that kid.
And I think I still played beyond that, but I think I
you were out.
Got out of goalie.
You were out at that point of the...
I don't know why I was there. I don't like balls coming at me. Like, it's not... Anyway.
I just got to... I got to sit that one out. not much I can say
your
there.
Your buddy Andrew's back wondering where your buddy Cooper is.
I know. Well... I mean, Howard Stern, we ain't. I mean, we got idiots who watch, but he's got tons. We got two, and one of them's not even here. But that's all right.
All right, I like it.
And I'm always doing the show for the listeners.
I'm saying Andrew asked
where Cooper is. Well, he's probably doing
things. No, I'm just
things.
Saying, what about me?
What about you?
Forget it. He's saying he wishes Cooper was here instead of me.
Oh, that's what he meant. I thought he meant Cooper was going to be on the thing. Oh, that makes I forgot that Cooper hosted.
Good job, Cooper.
I got a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned the girl was named Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in the next few years we will see an increase or a decrease in girls named Hillary?
From this year forward,
because I'm guessing...
No change, because there aren't a lot of girls named Hillary currently.
Currently.
Yeah.
So born in the last year or so, there were no women wanting to get ahead of the curve and name their kid Hillary?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'd like to see the stats on that.
Yeah, we can look it up. I'll look it up.
Because I think there is still a case to be made to name your kid Hillary.
Sure. You know why I wouldn't? Is the same reason I was even nervous putting a Hillary sticker on my car.
Mm-hmm.
Is because people are crazy, and I don't want that taken out on my kid.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is, because Hillary Clinton, boy, do people have opinions about her. So I don't.
And a lot of times I feel like their opinions aren't even all about her, but the emotion directed to she absorbs a lot of general hate.
Hate of the Clintons.
Yeah.
Hate of women.
Mm-hmm. Hate of liberals.
But I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I think that name is too loaded.
Hate of pantsuits.
I think that name is too loaded.
Okay. All right. I was curious about that. I wonder how that all will go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she still accomplished a great deal. And
Absolutely.
It could be, and you know, in retrospect, it could be said she got a raw deal, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah,
but who's
I
to say?
I stand by what I said about the name.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Maybe a middle name. Might come up as a middle name.
Well, I mean, you had Geraldine was like second to last choice, right? You were like Geraldine Ferraro Canali.
Yeah.
It was a Ferraro or Ferrara?
Ferraro.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Molly was mentioning, yes, we do have more to talk about, actually, like all the invites I sent out. But I wanted to talk about the segments that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about how we need to have some segments.
Right.
Recurring things. We will revisit.
Sports Widow.
Window. Sports Window Wednesday.
We need a better mic. Cord, that is. Yeah, I was in the room yesterday while Joe was watching PTI, and it's a show I watch or am aware of. And
you were it's a show that is on when you were in the room fairly often.
Yes, yes. And so they have a segment. They have a lot of segments, and one of them is they were doing yesterday where Tony Kornheiser had the fortune teller thing on.
Uh huh.
And that's what made me think like,
oh, because the costumes. So do you think we need costumes?
Well. Does this? I wonder if that's. Oh well, we could just do this.
Yes, we could do it with
on
that.
Facebook, you can create.
Maybe we'll do one episode like that.
Yeah.
It's got to be a special one, like St. Patty's Day.
Great.
You can do your face all St. Patty'd up.
Yeah.
I bet they'll have a special app for that, and I'll wear my green hat.
Great.
Wait, you got something to look.
That's a segment so much as a theme.
We'll talk about Irish sports,
okay?
Or just Ireland in general.
Okay.
No, you don't want to.
No.
Okay. All right.
That's an email that came through.
Okay. It was confusing. I was trying to read that email and I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
So look for segments and costumes.
We'll take ideas.
And speaking of costumes, that's a big thing. We are a Chicago-based couple.
Well, we, yeah.
And we do improv. And I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I'd say the biggest difference in sketch comedy on stages in Chicago versus L.A. is wigs.
And props and costumes.
Props and costumes and wigs.
Not into it myself. In fact, I remember definitely when I was touring with Second City and probably on the stages as well, it was always my goal to definitely touring to have as few
props
as possible because you're in charge of them. Right.
And I do think props become a bigger issue when you're touring than when you're on a stage. Like, because we were when
you just leave them every
night. Right. And you're doing the same show and they stay there and you're not in charge of them after that.
Right.
Your stage manager who is kind of ostensibly in charge of them, depending on who the stage manager is.
But when you're touring, you're in charge and you got to set them every time. Every go somewhere new, you got to set them.
And it's never the same. So I think that's a big influence. The touring company, in fact, poses a lot of differences between the way it is in L.A. and the way it is there. And here the groundlings are the prevailing. I wonder what New York is like. I'm curious because I am unaware for someone who's from upstate New York.
I would guess similar to Chicago.
I am probably
because you're not driving everywhere. You gotta lug everything around with
that
you.
That is true. And the first group that really broke stuff there was UCB.
Right.
And they did use an okay share of props. Mm-hmm. Like, you ever see Besser's thing where he's got the big, where he's the kid who has an extremely huge penis and he's wearing shorts and there's like a penis that's falling out of his short. It's a funny prop. Maybe he'll accept the invite I sent out.
Great.
After I said that and complimented him. He probably won't. But so it was interesting because on this Facebook page, we have a new page with some new listeners and watchers. I sent invites out to my friends, and I am not a Facebook person, so I haven't been on that for a long time, truly, other than this endeavor here.
Okay.
There are comments I make on Twitter that get redone there. But in going through those, you're just kind of, it's almost a
trip down memory lane.
Exactly. A lot of friends I have, you know, high school and college folks I've fallen out of contact with, I should get back in contact with. My friend Andy Kirby, in particular, I saw. Yeah. I should email or text him or something. And then people have their job updates, and there was like a few like police departments and a Department of Justice.
Wow.
These are the ones standing out to me for some reason. But I didn't know I knew people in those industries all that much. And people, you know, change jobs and stuff. And probably I would guess the bulk of the people I met, quote unquote, on Facebook was 10 years ago.
Right.
I populated my friends list then, and it's grown very slowly since then.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep wondering about doing a cull, not because there's anyone I object to, but just because those people I will easily get rid of.
Absolutely.
But just like, why is this? Because, honest,
Because there's information from them that you don't have no desire to see.
And they don't even show up on my feed.
Right.
Like, we're so out of each other's lives. And literally, they're people I'm like, I don't even know. I think one thing that happens is, like when you teach, sometimes you become Facebook friends with your students.
Mm-hmm.
But then like 5 years later, I will say there are some, but the students who have stuck around IO or wherever I taught, then I'm like, oh, I still know them and whatever. But sometimes it's like you knew someone for 6 weeks and that's it.
I have a lot of friends from when I hosted an open mic.
Yeah.
And so then you've got people and they're just going to plug their shows and that's fine. But that's not, you know. I actually find that we do better with people we've been friends with who are out of the industry in terms of following this show.
Right.
Because people in the industry are probably sick of shows or of us or of invites or of whatever.
Promo.
Not that they shouldn't be sick of us.
Right.
But if you're not, don't be pressured into it by someone else.
Yeah.
One of our other regulars is here.
Oh, yeah.
Your sister is watching.
Welcome.
So we'll stop talking about her.
Andrew just asked if I would call you from my Facebook.
You know, once a year, you and I do the purge here in the house where either of us have the right to murder the other one. We've never done it.
No.
You didn't know about it.
I guess we will be.
No. But we can't do a call. Look, the one way to stay friends with us, like us on this page.
Well, what I would like from Facebook is I would like the thing to be that if I unfriend someone that – my fear is that I unfriend someone and then I show up in their people you may know.
Right.
I feel like that's even happened before.
Yes. When somebody, I think that happens when somebody quits Facebook and comes back on.
It's happened to me.
Oh boy.
There's my high school acting teacher for some reason has friended and unfriended me 2 cycles. She friended me. Then she unfriended me. Oh, thanks, Emily. My sister just said she liked my hair. I got a haircut.
Molly's got a haircut.
And then she friended me again. And not in a, like, friended me and started commenting on things and was very nice. And there's no reason that.
Possibly accident?
I don't know.
Like, just, you know, I'm guessing she's older than you.
Yeah. She's got, like, club hands, so she probably doesn't. She doesn't.
Well, we're in trouble now. FCC coming down on us. The light looks good today, actually.
All right. I just did this for the listeners.
I know, and that just shows this far in, I haven't even looked until just now.
Should we talk about more sports?
Yeah, what do you got to talk about?
Well, I saw an incredible video yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Was that yesterday or was that this morning?
I think it happened 2 days ago, but you saw it this morning.
It's been a long day.
But not a lot of people would know about this.
So this was...
in Florida in spring training for baseball.
Mets?
Mets were playing, yes. I don't know who they were playing. It doesn't matter.
The batter swung and the bat went flying.
Okay.
And you see, it goes towards the
dugout.
And you see, like, the first row in the stands and everyone in the dugout, like, ducking.
Scattering.
And this one guy just, like, whoop, like, holds out his hand. Like nothing is happening. Like,
yeah,
it's nothing.
Very nonchalant. One of the players on the Mets is standing up in the dugout.
Cool.
And, you know, dugouts now, they didn't used to have that little fencing there, the kind of like 3-foot-high fence that will block the ball.
Yeah.
It used to be just clear into the dugout, so you really had to be paying attention. But back then they were all taking speed, so everybody was alert and ready. but now that the fences are up, you know, they don't have to take the speed anymore. But this guy's just kind of standing, leaning over the 3-foot fence. You know, 3.5 foot kind of watching the game, and the bat comes flying and it's to his right. And the guy definitely throws with his right hand. He's right-handed, and the bat comes over and it's flipping, and he just puts his hand out and grabs it right on the bottom of the handle as if it had been tossed from a foot away.
But yet with no effort.
No.
Look, you know, it just was like, it was
incredible hand-eye coordination. I don't know his name. He's a minor leaguer, but supposedly his reputation is that he has the best hands. They said it, that he has the best hands in the organization.
Wow.
And he proved it right there.
Hmm.
That's the kind of thing that could be the highlight of his career, actually.
I have to point out that Andrew has pointed out that you just repeated the story that I told. I told the story and then you felt the need to retell it.
I felt that there were a few specifics in your telling that were missing. And I could have added those, but I wanted to just put them in the context.
Okay.
I realized it
this
as I was doing
it. It's a version of mansplaining, but we have to work
post-mansplaining, yes.
Word repeating into it.
Well, you can mention, I tend to do this a lot, don't I? Rephrase your thing?
Yes.
Often when we're dealing with disciplining our child.
Oh, yes.
You'll say something and then I'll repeat it for emphasis.
Yes.
And you get mad at that.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's wrong.
Well,
Molly doesn't like me to point out when she gets mad.
I don't care. That was sports.
That was sports. That was and truly, that was the sports highlight.
Oh, wait. My sister has a question.
Well, you know, Andrew had questions that I ignored, but
okay.
We'll listen to her. What's hers?
Hers is, what's the worst fan accident you've seen?
Oh.
I remember a woman getting hit by a bat. Oh, yeah.
She got hit by a bat in a Rangers game, and it freaked you out. Did she get carried out of the game? Do you remember this, Molly?
I don't remember this.
We saw a little kid get hit by a foul ball in batting practice and get carried away. Turned out she was fine, but it turned out her skull was fractured. We found out later on. We looked it up. We told that in a previous episode in much more gory detail. Not really gory detail, but yes, there was a guy who fell and died this past season, I think. Maybe
there
in
been
Atlanta.
A couple of
yeah,
Rangers games.
Rangers, it's happened.
Josh Hamilton.
Yep.
It was
yes.
The ball he was going for.
And that wasn't that bad of a fall.
That happened. And then a couple of years before that, I don't think someone died, but I think a woman fell back from like an upper
deck
of at Rangers.
Oh, probably leaning on it drunk and then flopping over.
It was when the stadium was new, so this was much longer ago, but she was like having a picture taken or something.
Wow.
Awful. Maybe that, yeah.
I remember when I was, I want to say 10. I think we went to an old-timers game at Yankee Stadium with my grandfather, and we were in like the front row of the upper deck. and I was freaked out. And I think my grandfather or my dad paid an usher for us to go down a level or something like that.
Joe doesn't like heights.
I do not.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah.
Some may find that ironic for weird reasons, but landlord's going to fix
our disposal. That is good news.
He may be watching this. We found out. Did I say this? That our landlord?
No.
Molly and I did a video when I first moved here called Completely Honest First Date. I'm going to guess most of you have seen it. If you haven't, go ahead. It's up to 1 million-plus views, mostly thanks to a soft porn site in Denmark or something like that.
Yeah. Somewhere in Spain.
Which is weird. Maybe. There's no porn in it. There's hamburgers and there's some jokes. Racy jokes, racy jokes. But my landlord stopped me, and he was telling me that he saw, he's like, I saw something funny. I'm doing a poor accent. He's Russian. Mm-hmm. But I saw something funny you and your wife doing. Yeah. That's more the guy from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Natasha, we must get squirrel and moose. So just imagine. But anyway, he doesn't talk like that. He's a very nice guy. But he told me, he's like, I saw something. And I was like, what did you see? He's like, you and Molly. And then I realized what it was. And so Molly's embarrassed now that he saw this thing and knows that she does edgy comedy.
Really only the way that he approached you about it with like a wink and a huh.
Right.
Andrew asked who will win the AL East. I'm going to go to that because I don't want to just...
Right, and he, yeah, right, of course. And I can't read the questions because I don't pay attention, and my eyesight's not as good as yours. But the Red Sox will probably still win, although with David Price out perhaps for the year, they certainly won't win the World Series. And the Yankees are going to surprise. And this is just between me and Andrew because he's a Red Sox fan for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why someone from New Zealand who lives in Australia would be a Red Sox fan when they could be a Yankees fan. But
too obvious.
Probably. Probably, because I think he probably became a fan of them after they won the first. Yeah, well, then why did you... He asked me, and then he says the Red Sox still will. So he asked me so he could answer.
Oh, that's classic Joe
sports.
Canale.
All right, well, I was going to say classic sports radio type thing, but maybe I do that too. For the record, anytime I've called into sports radio, it has been an absolute embarrassment. No one has ever read a letter that I've written to get on the air. When I've gotten on the air, I've said really dumb stuff. and I have great sports takes.
Yeah.
But on the air, I've said really stupid. And they disagree with me and they mock me. Like, and I think sports radio calling people are dumb for the most part. And I hold myself above that. But when I call, maybe it's just the calling.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it's the pressure. But my most embarrassing thing was thinking that the Atlanta Falcons owner, Arthur Blank, was African-American. and I called into L.A. Radio because they said there are no owners in the NFL, black owners or African-American owners in the NFL. And I thought he was for some reason. And he's not. He's just a very Jewish man.
Yikes.
And boy, did they make fun of me. And I deserved it.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
I just figured there'd be that level of progress by now.
My of a black owner?
Yeah. My expectations of society, as usual.
Yeah.
Not met by society.
And certainly we don't think of our, we don't have people calling in, but we have people commenting.
Sure.
And we don't think that they're dumb because without them.
Oh, God, no.
We have nothing to talk
about. And this is kind of like what I would, yes, our friends are going to be of a higher caliber. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once we start getting public people, then you don't know.
Yeah.
Then you're, but I think the people we know, we're up here.
Yeah,
we're up here. We could talk about other stuff. We could get into like how improv has gotten dumbed down over the years. We were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's become more popular. But that's a very specific conversation for another day, and probably not for this show. So listeners, as always, you've been great. Haven't really interrupted us with questions or anything. So, continue, enjoying our show the same way you have, or tune in to Facebook on the Sports Widow page, where we broadcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You could also, like us or follow us on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Sports Widow Show.
Sports Widow Show. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Facebook Live, you don't have to catch it live. This is for our listeners.
Yes.
If
you just want to see what we look like.
If you want to just... catch it, you know,
after.
You can see it after the fact. There's a replay.
But if you've been listening and then you watch, you may discover there was no reason to watch.
Definitely.
I don't know that we're adding too much at this point, but we've talked about costumes, so that could that could add an element.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'll sign off with a costume here.
Hold on. Oh, great. Molly will sign off. But for you folks, you don't need this. So, follow us on iTunes, but you already do.